say hi to someone and welcome them to church. It's good to see you. And you may be seated. We do have kids' church. So if you want to join Pastor Vincent or Joe for kids' church, you can go upstairs. And we welcome you here today. If you are new, my name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are in a journey as a church to be a neighborhood church and to reach our city. And so if you want to find home here, home means hope on Main and 18th. And hope is a person named Jesus, and we'd love you to join us here, what God is doing. Do you remember the first time you touched a hot stove or a hot pot? Do you remember that time? I was 6 years of age, and my mom would make her famous popcorn every Friday night. And she would put it in a pot, the kernels in the pot. But before she put the kernels in the pot, she would kind of just put a little bit of butter in there, sometimes salt and vinegar, and then put the kernels in, and it would pop. And my mom had the world-famous popcorn, you know? Like, I was always really looking forward to my mom's popcorn on a Friday night. But this one particular Friday night, it was my job, my role, my responsibility to make sure that the popcorn was popping, and my mom would put a lid on it. She had to go somewhere really quickly, and so I'm watching the popcorn pop, ding, 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 hitting the lid, and then the lid was lifting up because all the popcorn, there was so much popcorn, and the popcorn is going off from the pot. And so as a six-year-old, I'm like, oh no, my mom's world-famous popcorn is hitting the ground. That cannot happen. So I grabbed the pot, put it onto the counter. And I'm like, yes, in that moment, I'm thinking, I just saved more popcorn for myself. But then my hands started to feel numb and tingly. Have you remember that moment? Remember the moment when you touch a stove and then it feels like needles poking into your hand or into a burn? And then this raging sense of my hands being on fire overtook me, and my mom raced over and of course took care of me. But do you remember the first time you touched a hot stove or a hot pot and you recognize and you listen to yourself and you're like, I'm never going to touch a hot pot like that again? The lesson is we shouldn't touch something hot with just your bare hands. In the same way, when we experience pain, our brains want to naturally isolate or protect ourselves. And we do this also relationally. We do this spiritually. We do this even in our own ways. So when we experience pain like unmet needs, broken dreams, perhaps a broken heart, unresolved conflict maybe at home, or relational tensions that you've experienced at school, even if you're here today in seasoned life and you've been disappointed by life, we naturally want to disengage. We want to disengage and protect ourselves, isolate ourselves. We build up relational walls, personal walls. We even build up walls with God. And we do this because we want to protect ourselves. Now, if you are new here today, we do take sermon notes. We want you to have a sermon note because it gives you an opportunity to listen to God's word, but then apply it to your life this week. And so our sermon series is called Raised to Life, a practical sermon series on personal healing and freedom found in Christ Jesus. Week one, 3 weeks ago, we talked about getting stuck in life sometimes. We get stuck in our selfish ways or our sin or our personal brokenness. We all walk through it. But Jesus has come to help us reach our full potential by becoming unstuck. Last week, we talked about if we stay stuck, if we decide to say to ourselves, we can't get unstuck, then we have these unique hurts and hang-ups and negative or hurtful habits that come up in our lives unchecked. And if we don't realize those or have the ability to invite Christ in, then we build walls. We build walls in our lives to protect ourselves. The best way I can say that is this cup represents you. It represents me. It represents all your potential. It represents your skill set. It represents your personality. It represents your wallet, your bank account, your education. It represents everything that you have ever been created to do by Christ Jesus. But life is not fair. And sometimes we put walls to protect ourselves. And our brains just do this. This is something that we do. My question is what walls do you put up around your potential in Christ Jesus? The goal here today, and in the sermon series, as we have seen in Romans 8:11, that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells in you as a follower of Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, I don't know what that was, by the way, but as a follower of Jesus, it means that the Holy Spirit now lives in you and he resurrects the dead things in our lives so that we can be all that God has called us to be in our potential. But we have to understand the walls of our life. Let me put it this way, if you were taking notes. If our lives are not motivated by faith, then our lives are motivated by fear. If our lives are not motivated that Christ loves you, that he died for you, that he created you, that he has raised from the dead 3 days to give you the full potential in Christ Jesus, then you and I are naturally motivated by fear, just like touching a hot pot. One of Jesus' closest friends, his name is John. He put it this way in 1 John 4:1-3. It's also in your sermon notes. He says, "Dear friends, or brothers and sisters, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." So as you can see in this context, it was information that people were aligning themselves that were not necessarily out of faith or love, but fear. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. That word believe there, do not believe every spirit, means every motive or feeling or thought that doesn't align itself with Christ Jesus. These are our words or our brokenness, our walls that sometimes we put up because of the spirit of fear. Now, we'll talk a little bit about this too. We'll unpack this, but what is the spirit of fear? Well, if you read 1 John, it talks about the spirit of fear is really the spirit of lies or the spirit of distorting God's truth. And we see that John called it spirits that we hold on to. Another thing we should realize in this passage of scripture is this is not for secular culture. This is actually for the local church. These are followers of Jesus in the ancient world that were wrestling and struggling through what it meant to have faith or fear. And this is what we see with John. These are tied to fear. The walls that we put up are don't align with Christ Jesus, and they're lies that you and I tell ourselves. So we need to ask ourselves, what does fear say to us? What does lies and distorting God's truth share with us? Well, I'm going to share 3 things really quickly. Wall number 1 says to ourselves, I am the victim. In other words, this wall right here, that's not my fault. That's somebody else's fault. That's my spouse's fault. That's God's fault. That's my boss's fault. That's Pastor Andy's fault. You fill in the blank. A victim mentality says that this is not my fault. This is just who I am. This is how I was raised. And when we build up walls like a victim, unfortunately, sometimes unchecked, we create hard hearts. Our heart doesn't become soft towards the Lord or to his ways. Let me put it this way. You go to work on Monday, and your boss is like, "You're doing such a great job. I'm going to give you a promotion." And you're so excited because you're going to get more pay. You're going to get more influence. Your reputation will rise. And you're so excited for that role. But you realize 2 or 3 weeks in, you're like, this role is really full. I didn't recognize how much work this is going to take. They should hire 2 or 3 people. Why did they give me all this extra stuff? Man, my boss must not like me. Maybe he's like Pharaoh from the Old Testament. We start to victimize ourselves, saying that this person is mean or this isn't my fault, and so we victimize a context. We can do this with God too. God, why did this circumstance happen to me? Why did this thing happen to this person? And these are honest, real questions, but fear says this is God's fault. This is my boss's fault. This is Pastor Andy's fault. We say that to ourselves when fear wants to rise, when we look at the walls. Each of us know our potential, but each of us need to understand our walls. We'll get to that. You see, I want to share with you today that even when fear says life is unfair, when all of these negative things have happened to me and it's somebody else's fault, let me share with you really quickly that life is unfair, but God is. In fact, God is unfair because he loves you so much that even though you did deserve death, he didn't take that route. He took another route. He is just. He's more than fair. He took on the cross when you and I deserved it. He died in my place, even though he shouldn't. He reconciled you and me to God to experience his presence and reach your potential here on earth. He bridges the path for us to reach not only our full potential, but everlasting peace in a world that doesn't understand peace. It is important to note, though, at times that there are things that happen to us that are out of our control. And sometimes that can be feeling like a victim. You know, you could lose your job. That might be your fault, but that might not be your fault. It just happens. You might be a Canucks fan today. They lose. That's not your fault, okay? They're looking for a GM. That's not your fault. You might feel like a victim today, but you don't have to put up a wall. When we say that this is not my fault, we're saying that this is not my responsibility. That my wall is who I am in Christ Jesus. And we say these things. So wall number one. Wall number two says, I am not the villain. That means that we share nasty stories to ourselves about other people. Unintentionally or intentionally, we say stories like this. This person told me to do this. This happened to me because of this person. This person is the problem, like my boss. Not me. Pastor Andy's the problem, not me. My boss put too much on me, I should quit. God is unfair, therefore I should walk away from my faith. This person is a bad person, this is why I do bad things. A villain story is really to make the other person look bad, therefore we justify our own walls. Anyone here have a sibling? Siblings in the room? Yeah. We tend to villainize our siblings, don't we? If we justify our own behavior saying, that wasn't my fault, that was my brother's fault or my sister's fault. Yeah, I acted that way. Yeah, I'm bad. But do you know how bad my sibling is? He made me do that. She made me do that. That's a villainized story. We tend to do that. And sibling stories is as classic as time itself. We tend to shift responsibility on others. And yes, we own the bad behavior that we do, but it's not as bad as our sibling. It's not bad as other people. And it makes us feel good, doesn't it? To villainize others and to say to ourselves, hey, you know what? I am not that bad. Now, let me put it this way. Last week, we talked about our brains, and our brains filter through fear. And our brains have the opportunity to know perceived fear or real fear. But the brain doesn't actually understand all those things. Let me give you an example. Anyone remember Y2K? Y2K, 2000, 1999 going to 2000? Who was born after 1999? You know, like there's a few here. And you're thinking to yourself, what the heck are you talking about? Let me go through it. This sounds really weird. This is what fear does to our world. Y2K. Everyone thought that doomsday was going to happen to the world. Do you remember? Because computers would not be able to turn the clock from December 31st, 1999 to January 1st, 2000. And our world went crazy. The world thought, oh, governments are going to shut down. The electricity is going to melt down. Transportation is going to be not available. Some people built bunkers. People hoarded stuff. People were taking money out of their bank accounts. The bank and the investment stock said, stop taking money. You're going to cause a recession, if our depression in our world. Our world was full of fear. January 1st, 2000, sorry. And everyone else after 2000, whoever born, you're like, what a bunch of idiots. 2000 came and nothing happened. Do you remember? Nothing happened. There was no glitches. The computers were able to figure out the calendar. There was transportation. No one's money left their bank accounts. You know, everyone was totally okay. That's the difference between perceived fear and real fear. Our brains are wired to understand fear, but not understand perceived and real fear. This is why we say things like that to ourselves. We say that we are not the villain. We are the victim. And when we do that, we're letting fear speak to us, just like Y2K. I forgot to mention this in the first service, but governments in Canada spent $600 billion to make sure doomsday did not happen on Y2K. $600 billion that could have helped the next generation hit universities or whatever. But fear does this. Perceived fear. Let me encourage you with this. If we want to reach out and reach our full potential in Christ as a church and as individuals, we need to be able to be self-aware enough to understand the spirits of fear over the spirits of faith, where we make good decisions. We'll talk about that a little later. The last wall we tell ourselves is, I'm helpless and I am hopeless. I'm helpless simply says that it is what it is. I can't change my circumstances. I can't change myself. This person that I'm with will never change. Therefore, I'm just going to peace out, whether it's relationally, whether it is spiritually. You might be here today and you're like, I'm peacing out. Like, God doesn't help me. So that, why am I hopeful? But these are false conclusions. This is fear speaking lies in the context of our own brokenness, our own walls. Jesus did not just come from heaven to earth to perform the greatest miracle of all time just to forgive you of sin, but to set you free from sin. He did not just come to forgive you. He came to free you, to reach your full potential in Christ Jesus, not to continue to build up walls. You see, faith says, according to John, and we're going to unpack this really together, that the spirit of fear speaks to us, but there's also another spirit, the spirit of faith, which brings truth to us. And he says it this way, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Verse 16, so that we know and rely on God's love that he has for us. What that means is we put our faith, we are able to put our confidence or trust in God's love, not in our own ways, but in what God has. And perfect love, as you see in this passage of scripture, drives out all fear. Verse 18, because fear has to do with punishment, but he has taken on the punishment of the world through his love. We love others because he first loved us. You see, faith is exemplified through the power of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of agape love, not the signs or the spirits of fear. If we want to break down our walls, we let love break down those walls. And as Jesus has already done the work for us, let me hear this here today. Jesus did a supernatural work for your life to be here. He'd taken your sin. He was raised from the dead. He did the work. But at the same time, we need to put in the work too. We need to understand our walls. We need to be aware of our walls. And we need to tear them down in the power of love. That takes work. And so Jesus has already done the work, but we need to put in the work as well. And so faith says this, number one, is name the wall. As you see in this passage of scripture, John explains that we need to test the spirits that we experience in our lives. The spirit of fear over the Holy Spirit of agape love. If we do not name the walls of fear that we tend to gravitate to, but in love, God will transform us. So we don't have to be fearful to name the walls that we go through. We just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. So like I mentioned before, this is a sermon series that's meant to be practical. It's meant to be a spiritual practice or exercise. So the next slide here is something that we do. We build walls up. We each of us build these walls. So like I mentioned, the first week, we get stuck in certain things. We get stuck in our brokenness. If you don't understand that, then we don't reach our full potential. And then we have hurts and hang-ups. It oozes out of us. And then we build up walls. So these walls come up. And so some here, you might just feel absolutely judged. Usually this stems out of your childhood, or you're overcritical about yourself or others. Maybe you wrestle with anger, confusion, or being contempt, or control, over-controlling. Maybe you numb out. That's what I go through. When I'm stressed out, I'll numb out emotionally. Maybe you're like the overachiever. That's me too. There might be one or more, but what's the primary walls that you put around yourself? I encourage, if you're taking sermon notes, you can write one or two. If you're like, I don't know, don't put your sibling there, okay? Don't put your mom and dad there. You got to own what you own. It means to be aware, because when you're aware, then you can deal with it strategically as Jesus comes to earth. It was 1 John. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture in 1 John, where John says, if you confess your sin. Now, confessing sin doesn't say, Lord, please forgive me because I'm a bad person. No, he wants us to confess what is causing that. Lord, please forgive me for I punched my brother today. Or it's usually a named piece, so that God's love, so he confessed sin, so that he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he replaces it with his love. It's the same with a wall. Lord, I understand these are walls that I wrestle with. This is what my broken character looks like, my broken behavior. What walls do you face? Write them in your notes or your journal or on a piece of paper, or even your digital device. Take a picture. Because when you do, when you're aware, then you're able to replace the wall. You're able to replace the wall. For this exercise to become meaningful to you, you can't just answer this with a cognitive reality. Yes, it's important to understand and know, but it's more important to do through your heart. You need to visualize and perhaps invite new words in your life, because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. A new creation in Christ Jesus means you have new thoughts, new experiences, new life. And so these are things of our old life. And so we tear down the wall by replacing the wall. If we can go to the next slide, that would be great. Look at how John puts it too. John talks about if we remain stuck in our ways and build walls, we develop a hard heart. And when we develop a hard heart, it is very difficult to hear God's voice and to know what God has for you. So Paul puts it this way. For God gave us a spirit not to fear, but to power, love, and self-control. Next slide, please. So we see in this context that God gave us not a spirit of fear, as he used the term spirit, but the Holy Spirit that gives us power, love, and self-control. It means that God gives us the ability and the discipline to actually change our life. It's through his power and love, not our own power and self-love. It means the Holy Spirit lives in us rather than the spirits of fear. And the Holy Spirit whispers to us truth in real time, in this moment, when you allow him to speak to us. A mentor of mine put it this way. I think it's key in how we hear from the Holy Spirit. But he says, self-control is when your conscience tells you to do something and you don't talk back. You listen. In the same way with the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit whispers to us, but we like to talk back to the Holy Spirit. We don't allow him to speak to us because we decide to say, hey, we know better. But when the Holy Spirit does speak to us and we listen to him through our conscience or through the word or through relationships, in worship, in our everyday life, we need to listen. We need to pause, to rest, and to obey. This gives us the power to allow God to speak to us rather than talk back to the Holy Spirit. In the same way, it takes self-control when the Holy Spirit whispers to do what he calls us to do. So how does the Holy Spirit speak to our walls? Well, this next slide is how truth speaks to our walls. So when there's judgment, if you feel overjudged and you don't feel like you're good enough, you are forgiven by Christ Jesus. If you deal with anger, you can find joy in the Lord. Maybe you are full of contempt. In other words, I just don't care. God cares for you. Maybe you numb out like me. God has compassion for you through Christ Jesus. Maybe you feel lazy. It's not because you're lazy for lazy's sake. Or maybe you're just fearful or procrastinate. But God calls us to be productive in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be overly religious or think that we're right. We have relationship with the Christ. And so again, when you write down these words of things that you are dealing with the walls of your life, you speak truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not through Pastor Andy. It's not through some help, self-help. It's not through Google or some AI chat box bot. It's actually through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. But this is not just a cognitive exercise. You've got to open up your heart and let the Spirit speak to you. Again, pause this morning and replace your walls with truth. Replace the walls with truth of Jesus in your life. I encourage you to circle one down. I encourage you to maybe put it in your sermon notes. Maybe talk to your home group leader about it or a pastor. Let God's word speak over your word. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to speak at a local church, two services, about infobesity. Infobesity is a term that I use around information overload from digital technologies. And this church wanted me to talk about faith formation, so I did. And afterwards, they wanted me to have a bunch of books at the back, and they would buy books, and I can sign it. And so there was a lineup, and there's an elderly woman in the back of the line, close to the back of the line, and she's crying as she's coming to get her book signed. And I'm like, oh gosh, what did I do? And so as she's coming up to the table, she's like, Pastor Andy, your word was so important to me. I never realized how fearful I was and what I was consuming online. And she told me her story. She's like, I've never really been necessarily in digital spaces much. I didn't even know what Facebook was, but I got sick and I was bedridden and I had to rest at home. She lost her job for a season, and she was on her digital device 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And based on the fear of the walls that she was dealing with, she would allow certain type of information to come into her life that was harming her, not helping her. And she was isolating from her small group that she was a part of. She was part of the church, and she's like, I just can't go to church anymore. I'm not going to be a part of those things. So she started to find her identity in things that were online that were not necessarily, again, helpful for her. But she realized through the talk and her self-awareness that she said to herself, I need to change my ways. What I'm consuming is building up my walls, not tearing down my walls. In the same way, it takes the Spirit of love, this Holy Spirit of power, love, and self-control to break the walls or the spirits of fear. Because number three, as we've mentioned, we are called to give our walls to Jesus. Jesus becomes the greatest example of tearing down walls. We don't tear down walls by trying to blow them up or cancel people out or throwing our walls online and telling us how to help. No, we give our walls to Jesus because Jesus broke all walls. He broke religious walls. He broke relational walls, spiritual walls, even physical walls. He's the ultimate example to be ministered by. I want to encourage you today that this is not a self-help exercise. This is a spiritual exercise. This is why Jesus came to earth, to break sin, so that you can reach your full potential in Christ Jesus. I love how Jesus promises this for you and me. Recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, it's the same promises that we see with John, but he says this, Jesus quotes, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you not anxiety, not depression, not brokenness, not judgment, but rest. Rest for your soul, rest for your mind, rest for your body, Rest in your relationships. Rest in your work when you've been treated badly. Rest in your world because you have gone to Jesus. When you do this spiritual practice with Jesus, the promise is that you will experience rest and you will not be weary and burdened by the walls that we put up in our lives. It's exhausting, isn't it? Fear is exhausting. Fear will bring us down. It keeps us up at night. It makes us sick even in our bodies, as we talked about this last week. But when we come with our walls with Christ Jesus, he gives us rest. Not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of faith, where the Holy Spirit has the ultimate control. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward as we close with a final song. And as I was praying over this message today, I thought that I would give you a focused prayer. A prayer that you can pray for yourselves and ourselves this week. That we can actually supernaturally tear down the walls of fear in our lives and also as a church. You see, we have the ability to make decisions based out of fear or faith. We have the ability to put up walls even as a church, not just individuals. But if we truly understand what it means to be followers of Jesus and to reach our full potential as individuals and as a local church, then we need to be people of faith, led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you have focused prayer, all of heaven focuses on that one prayer. We can pray strategically. We can pray popcorn prayers. We can pray prayers for ourselves. But when we pray strategically, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to us strategically. It's the same with faith. So as we go into worship today, I want to pray this prayer over you. I want to pray this prayer for you. I want to pray this prayer alongside you. And it's not on your notes today, but you can take a picture of it if you want. But this is how we break down walls. You bring them to Jesus. You bring them to prayer. And as we go into worship, the prayer of home church is that you would speak, that you would experience hope, that the walls are not too large, friend. And the older we get, our walls tend to be bigger. The more seasoned we are in life, the walls want to be thicker. But they're not too big for Jesus. They're not too big simply because of what Jesus did at the cross. But let me pray this over you today. In the name of Jesus, by the power of his name, not my name, and his resurrection, I bind any spirits, any powers of fear that have attached themselves based on my unique hurts, hang-ups, and habits. I now command, not on our own power, but in the future, you can do this in your life as well. I now command, in the name of Jesus, to tear down the walls of fear I have built in my life. What are those walls? You can name them. And you give them to Jesus. You can give it to him now. He's not scared of your wall. He's not overwhelmed by the wall. He does not judge you because you have a wall. You give him the wall. I now ask by the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, to fill me and to heal me with his love and power. I pray that the perfect peace that Jesus gives will fill me in the light of his love, guarding my heart and my mind from any walls I may have built up over the years, and that no place of darkness, wounds, hurts, hang-ups, or habits will have any influence in my life anymore. And by faith, friends, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by agape love, by the Holy Spirit that lives in you, in the name of Jesus, so be it. May it happen in this moment Amen. Let's stand together as we go through a time of worship, that the Holy Spirit would speak to you afresh, and that as we worship, God would speak to you. Maybe you're here today and you have a unique need. You have a ministry need. I'm going to ask our prayer workers to come forward. So, Janice. And if you have a need today, we want to pray with you. We want to come alongside you. But even in your own seat where you are today, may the Holy Spirit minister to you afresh, and that you would tear down the walls that have broken that full potential that you can find in Jesus. And as we continue with this series, you will find that as Jesus heals your broken places, he redeems all things so that you can help others that have broken places. That's the joy of the local church. So let's sing together. Let's worship together.